Music was an essential part of the civil rights movement, which began in the mid-1950s and continued through the 1970s. It was a time when African Americans were seeking the legal rights that other Americans already had. Through countless marches, speeches, and rallies, African Americans created one of the greatest social justice movements in American history. Starting in 1955, acts of nonviolent protest and civil disobedience led to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which banned discrimination, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which ensured voting rights. Dr. King said, "The freedom songs are playing a strong and vital part in our struggle." In the next hour, we'll listen to some of the most important songs of the civil rights movement and the milestones they marked. The folk singer Odetta was called the voice of the civil rights movement for lending her talents to events such as the 1963 March on Washington, one of the largest political rallies for human rights. An estimated 250,000 people saw Dr. King deliver his historic "I Have a Dream" speech, as well as performances by Mahalia Jackson and Joan Baez. Odetta sang this song, "O Freedom." Also performing at the March on Washington was a group of young activists called the Freedom Singers, who fused black church singing with protest songs and chants. They became ambassadors of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and used music as a way to empower and educate audiences about civil rights issues. Here's a 1963 recording of the Freedom Singers with "Woke Up This Morning."
I woke up this morning,
talk, 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 talk,
Another voice of the civil rights movement was Sam Cooke, a hugely popular pop singer with a string of hits starting in 1957 with You Send Me, followed by Wonderful World in 1960 and Twistin' the Night Away in 1962. In 1963, when he and his band were turned away at a whites-only hotel in Louisiana and later arrested for disturbing the peace, Sam Cooke was compelled to write this gentle protest song, which has been called his best composition, A Change Is Gonna Come.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
The Staple Singers began as a gospel group in the 1950s and became soul music superstars at the height of the civil rights movement. They would become close friends with Dr. King and often traveled with him, performing concerts to raise money for the movement. After seeing him preach in Montgomery in 1963, they decided to make their music part of the movement. Pops Staples said, "If he can preach it, we can sing it." So we started singing protest songs. This song, Why Am I Treated So Bad, was written about the Little Rock Nine, the first black students to attend the newly desegregated Little Rock High School in 1957. On their first day of school, they were met with angry protest and blocked by the National Guard. President Eisenhower responded by sending federal troops to escort the students, and the shocking incident galvanized the civil rights movement.
My friend, you notice I was in a bad condition. Just the other day, I saw a group of little children trying to ride a school bus. By them being of a different nationality, they weren't allowed to ride the bus. And I imagine if you'd ask them about this matter, they would have a word like this to say. Why am I treated so bad? Why am I treated so bad? So bad. I'm gonna walk out in the master lane. Things I do, they seem to be in vain. You may be lame, walk on out in the master name, though you're treated so bad.
Curtis Mayfield got his start singing gospel music in the 1950s. By the early 60s, he was having great success with his group The Impressions, with a series of hits including Gypsy Woman and It's All Right. In 1964, Mayfield's songwriting was showing an increasing social consciousness that resulted in his composition Keep On Pushing, and one year later with People Get Ready. People Get Ready, which fused gospel and soul, became The Impressions' biggest hit and was called by Dr. King the unofficial anthem of the civil rights movement.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among us love the most. Thank you.
Chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the
Another performer who used her music as a vehicle for social justice was Nina Simone. As a young aspiring classical pianist, she was denied entry to a prestigious music school in Philadelphia, likely because she was African American. She then set about recreating herself as a jazz and pop singer, and by the early 1960s was having commercial success, all the while continuing her classical studies. During the civil rights era, she began to address racial inequality in her music and performed and spoke at meetings and marches. Here's Nina Simone from 1967 with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. The summer of 1967 is known as the Summer of Love, but that was not the case in America's inner cities, where systemic racism in housing, jobs, and policing was taking a huge toll on the black community. In some cases, it boiled over into riots, as it did in Detroit in 1967, when a party busted by police turned into a five-day riot, resulting in 43 deaths, over 1,000 injured, and hundreds of buildings destroyed. Blues star John Lee Hooker, living in Detroit at the time, was witness to the scene he described as worse than Vietnam. Here's his 1967 track, "The Motor City is Burning."
Don't you know the Big B is burning? Anything in the world that Johnny can do. My hometown burning down to the ground. West her in Vietnam. Oh, it started on 12 and Claremont that morning. I just don't know what it's all about. Oh, it started on 12 and Claremont that morning. I don't know what it's all about. The fire wagon kept coming. The sniper just wouldn't let him put it out. Firebomb busting all around me. And soldiers was everywhere. Oh, firebombs falling all around me. And soldiers standing everywhere. I could hear the people screaming. Sorry, fill the air. I don't know what the trouble is. I can't stay around to find it out. I don't know what the trouble is this morning. I just can't stay around to find it out. I'm taking my wife and my family, and little Johnny Lee is curtain now. The Motor City's burning. Ain't a thing that I can do. Oh, the Motor City's burning. Ain't a thing that I can do. I just hope people, it'll never happen to you. Yes, yes. I can hear the farmer. He said, let's get out of here.
Another singer with long-standing ties to Dr. King is Aretha Franklin, who as a young gospel singer went on tour with King, the Soul Stirrers, and the Staple Singers. After leaving the gospel world in 1960, she of course went on to become one of the most celebrated singers of our time with multiple top 10 hits. So when she released Respect in 1967, it reached a wide audience and resonated not only with the civil rights movement, but also with the growing feminist movement. It became her signature song and a resounding anthem of the day.
Just a little bit, mister.
Just a little bit.
When soul singer James Brown released Say It Now, I'm Black and I'm Proud in 1968, it was revolutionary in many ways. As odd as it may seem today, up until then, African Americans were called colored or Negro. To say black in such a bold way was genuinely empowering and represented the newfound pride of African Americans. He recorded the call and response song with schoolchildren from Compton and Watts in L.A., and the song became yet another anthem of the civil rights movement.